unfortunately, that the stories that we hear, and they are numerous and painful, of people growing up in the Frum community, going, learning in yeshivas, sometimes even beyond, oftentimes beyond the first year or two after high school, learning many years, some quite accomplished, almost more often than not, that's what one therapist told me today, coming from Choshuva families, oftentimes distinguished yichus, and they're just drifting away. So that's sad news, but that's old news. But there seems to be a common denominator to a lot of these things. And that is something that I think from a chinuch point of view, we have to start addressing early on in life. And that is the inability to control themselves. And the vulnerability of just falling in to any and every form of temptation that comes their way, whether the temptation is through technology or the internet and that stuff, whether the temptation is through people that they meet or people that they want to meet and eventually end up meeting, whether it's the temptation of people who pursue them and eventually they succumb to this pursuit. But that seems to be a major common denominator, the inability to control temptation. And I think that the solution to temptation, that since the creation of man himself, that's we were created with taiva, the Stipler explains that the certain basic taivas that we have, the world wouldn't continue to exist if we didn't have that. That's a Dover Poshut. So Kodesh Baruch Hu put this taiva, and many of the taivas are that way, otherwise we just become vegetables. But Mitzad Sheni, the ability to control desire and temptation is the most critical ingredient of the ability to live the kind of life that a person wants to live. Now, the bad thing or the deceptive thing or the delusional thing about temptation is that we start off oftentimes, I don't want this. And we would be very, very wise in our advice to other people about the dangers. Danger, temptation. What does temptation do? It draws you slowly. Then it takes your mind and plays games with it. Then it makes you rationalize certain things. It makes you think that this is nothing. It makes you think that everything's going to go away. It makes you think that nothing really will happen. It blinds you to the consequences. It makes you insensitive to the pain and suffering that you're causing people around you. It plays games with the mind. And the problem is that even though we know that, but it's true, and it plays games with the mind, and it doesn't let us focus on the things that we know, and we end up captive, to this taiva, to this temptation, and people just, some of the stories that just recently, because Baruch Hashem, in this I'm happy, I don't remember them for too long because they're too painful, but bizarre. I mean, things that you wouldn't believe, not by goyim, let alone by anshei shlameinu. So therefore, I think that it's very critical to start at the youngest possible age, lauding, praising, idolizing, and inspiring people to develop the ability to control themselves, self-control. Ezehu gibor hakovish es yitzroi. The individual who has the ability to take that desire, whatever it may be, and bring it under kvisha. Kvisha means, the way I understand it, is it's being held down. It's not that I destroy it, you won't destroy it. Desire is there, and I guess it's there. Ain't all the meis v'chatzi tavosa biyodoi. So, you know, it's always there. But the ability to be kvish. The kvisha is a koyach, it's a koyach, it's a gvura. Ezehu gibor. What is a gibor? You want to know what the definition of a gibor is? That's the ultimate gvura. It's bigger than any physical strength and anything that a person can do. It's stronger, it's a greater expression of gvura to be kvish is yitzroi. And if we don't start at a very early age, then we allow people, young people, and as they get older, older people, to remain vulnerable. Because kvishas hayetzer, self-control, is a skill. It's a skill. It has to be developed. And like any skill that one wants to develop, one has to be inspired to and motivated to do it. One has to be educated as to how to go about doing it, and then one has to practice doing it in order to develop that skill. And it's a very universal kind of thing, because the more practice that I get at any form of control, the more I develop the control muscles, the muscles of control that allow me to exercise this this
without even filling in, like they're looking for something. You always talk about filling in, like, you know, the positive.
Yeah, well, so, listen, you know.
Are you talking about this just alone as a thing by itself?
Well, the real answer to this is I wish that I could emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu in one of his most amazing feats, and that is Shomor V'Zochor B'Dibor Echod Ne'emru, to be able to say everything all together, you know. So I can't, and we can't, and if I did, you guys wouldn't hear it anyway. So, therefore, we have to deal with each thing separately. Of course, one second, I hear you. Of course, all of the motivational and all of the connection to Hashem and all of the chashivus ha-Torah and the benefits of the mitzvahs and all this is very important. But when it comes to taiva, everything is forgotten. The ability to rationalize is supreme, is overwhelms everything. A person can believe that day is night and night is day and black is white and white is black and nothing. The taiva blinds. You don't see anything. You see two kinds of Maaseh Hashem describes two kinds of blindness. One blindness is you don't see. The other blindness is you see things looking like something else. You think this is that. You think this is. It's a total state of confusion. So we have to focus. At this discussion right now, I just want to focus on this one aspect of learning to control one's desires. Okay, now, so I just want to make a few points about this, and I think, and in terms of chinuch for ourselves, for our children, for talmidim, I think it's something that from the earliest ages we have to start. Actually, I think I was a little bit inspired to this discussion by two things. One, some of the tragic things that I heard this week, and the other is having a meeting with young parents the other night, and focusing on in part on little two-year-olds' ability to learn self-control. And I guess I realized that that's where it starts. I don't know, two, three, or one, I'm not sure where, but around the earliest stages of life to learn that midah, just to become versed in the skill of self-control. So I'd like to talk a little bit about that skill, and maybe then, as we use our imagination, we can develop techniques and, or, you know, or at least focus on being able to apply this. By the way, kids learn from example. If we see the significant adults in our lives lacking self-control, then that certainly is a big step or a negative step in developing that, because we tend to emulate the surroundings that we're in. So setting an example of self-control is also, you know, is also very important. But let me just talk about that for a few moments, okay? So first of all, I think that the Rambam always bothered me, and Josh pointed out something, I don't know if exactly how it fits, but Lamaisa, the Rambam in Hilchas Deis talks about emulating Hashem, v'olachta bedrochov. But he has a whole arichus, halocha after halocha, about the inyan of going b'derech ha-memutza. And it seems from the context there that the derech ha-memutza is part of the mitzvah of v'olachta bedrochov. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have to go b'derech ha-memutza. He can go exactly, he can live on the edge. He knows exactly where to draw the line, where to do it, where here. He doesn't have to walk. To be safe, he walks in the middle. It seems, that's the only havana that I have, although I admit it doesn't necessarily make everything meyushev, but I think that that's the basic concept, that the derech ha-memutza represents control, self-control. Because he talks about the ktsovos, that this extreme, that extreme, the further I am away from the center, the more I lose control. You know, I guess I always thought of it like a seesaw. You know, if you're on here, so it goes down. If you're this way, it goes this way. If you stand in the middle, you can balance it, you know. So the balance is, the center represents that balance. And it seems that the ability to control ourselves is really an emulation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in total control. He's in total control of every midah. He's in total control besides of the whole world, but that's something that we may not be able to be in control of. Obviously, we can't be, but at least in control of ourselves, he's in control of himself. So for the first thing, I think we should extol the midah of self-control. The midah of self-control is, in a sense, the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the greatest godless. It's the greatest validation, self-control. And therefore, on the youngest level of the youngest children, self-control should be lauded. Whenever there's a demonstration of self-control, that's called, reinforcing good behavior. Whenever there's a demonstration, see a kid controlled himself, whatever it was. Somebody did something, pulled away his toy, and he didn't, you know, retaliate. Wow, I'm so proud of you. That's beautiful. You controlled yourself. And they should hear from the earliest stages, control is something we laud. You know, we tend to laud sometimes the wrong things in our children. We want certain satisfaction. We want certain nachas. We want certain respect. We want certain behavior. But this is certainly something that if from the earliest stages, wow, you controlled yourself. That's heroic. You're a gibor. That's mamish. That's amazing. You're deimel Hashem. You're godly. I control myself. That's a godly act. Just now, again, apply it and adapt it to the age, to the circumstances, to the situation, to the individual. But that concept of lauding this midah of self-control. Now, at the same time, of course, and I'm just going to repeat it again to rub it in, we have to model the midah of self-control. If we laud the midah of self-control in our children, and we model the opposite, then we're sending mixed messages, and that just creates total confusion and chaos. So we have to laud it, it's praiseworthy, and it's also something that we demonstrate. Self-control means when the kid does something that he shouldn't have done, or breaks something, or does something, that we show self-control. And kids, by the way, are very smart, and they can tell whether you're doing self-control or whether you really just didn't see or didn't care. Self-control is, you know, they know this is serious, and you let them know this is, we can't act that way, but you did it civilly, kindly, benevolently, lovingly. Not every situation is different, but so demonstrating and lauding it are two, I think, are some of the very basic principles involved. Now, I think that we have to, besides just praising it, we have to discuss it and talk about it as well. We have to explain, what it means, because if a person has self-control, then he has the ability, in a very strong way, to control his environment. A brawl begins, and I don't know necessarily a physical brawl, but a brawl begins when two people get out of control. You know, everything, then this thing gets, they're out of control, the next thing gets out of control. Before you know it, everybody's fighting. Everybody is this. You know, the person has the ability to maintain that self-control. He controls so much in his surroundings. You know, if there's an argument going on, the one who has self-control wins the argument. Generally, the one who has self-control wins the election. Anyway, but Lemaisa, this is a powerful self-control. It's not only a gvura that I control myself, it gives me a vantage point in controlling my surroundings. Everybody's getting all bent out of shape. Everyone's going nuts. Everyone's getting crazy. Everyone's screaming and yelling. Put together, calm, cool, and collected, they used to say. And I'm in control. And it's unnerving to other people. They may hate you for it, but ultimately, you're at a vantage point. If there's an argument, you're more likely to win. If there's a negotiation, you're more likely to come out ahead, because I don't scream, I don't yell, I don't get bent out of shape, I don't start. Somebody wants to scream.
Why is that? Is that a good reason to want to be in control? Is that characteristic?
It doesn't matter. We want, at the earliest stages, we want the, it should become almost habitual. Whatever motivation, mitoich shaloy lishmo bolishmo. Yeah, what do you mean? There's good control in situations. What do you mean? Listen.
So you were describing winning the argument.
I'm in a classroom, okay? I'm in a classroom. I want to tame the wild elements in the classroom, okay?
So you were describing like winning an argument or...
Well, winning an argument because I'm right. Of course, I want to win. I want to share my Das Torah with everybody else. I want to win. Whatever it is, you're right a little bit, but at the lower levels, we can't worry about that motivation. That's already mitoch shaloy lishmo bo lishmo. I don't think that's creating. You are right. Even in mitoch shaloy lishmo bo lishmo, you're not allowed to create midas rois, which didn't exist before. You're right. There's a whole thing, a whole stira in the Hagos HaRosh. I remember many years ago, I don't remember where, what, but so that is a Das Torah concept. You don't want to create new Midas Rois just to accomplish something positive. But everybody wants to win. That's going to be there. The desire to win the how do you call it? There's a word they have for it.
Nitzachon.
Who? Nitzachon, yeah, but there's an English word. The combative spirit, something, the, I don't know, whatever it is. So that's anyway, but just... To let people know that you have so much more influence, you can do so much more, you can accomplish so much more. And then b'chlal, if a person loses control, they lose his composure, you can't even think. I have to be able to think. If I allow myself to fall prey to my desires, somebody said something to me and I got this desire, I could ruin everything. I have a situation which haunts me 35 years later. 35 years later haunts me about a statement that was made with not the proper amount of self-control, which to this day I think caused serious damage. It's such a technique to succeed and to maintain. You know, if you lose self-control, you lose the ability to think clearly also. If you lose the ability to think clearly, if you can't control yourself and you can't think clearly, so you're a goner. It's all gone. It's nothing. So again, from as whatever ages, whatever stages, we could start to express how important this is, how advantageous this is. Then there's something else. And I think this is a very important point as well. People don't want to do the things they don't want to do. Right? That's right. Does that statement make sense? People don't want to do the things they don't want to do. For example, they don't want to eat things that are poison. That's a reasonable thing. Nobody wants to take poison. There are people and there are situations where I don't want to eat certain foods, where I don't want to eat too much of certain foods, where I don't want to miss certain appointments, whether it's an appointment, a business appointment, or it's an appointment with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, it makes no difference. I don't want to miss certain appointments, you know. I want to do what I want to do. Sonny boy, if you don't learn self-control, you're going to undermine many of your goals in life, because there are going to be many things that you can't do. Let's say, for example, the refrigerator at night. I don't know if that's an assignment for anybody, but that's the classical example that they give. You know, the refrigerator at night, I'm passing by the refrigerator, and this refrigerator happens to have leftovers from Shabbos. Oy, 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 there was such a strawberry shortcake. There was such a Napoleon's with who knows what. There was ice cream, there was, I don't know what all these things. Anyway, they're all there, you hear? Now, I don't want them, because look what I look like already, you know what I mean? That's all I need right now. I got on the scale, I looked in the mirror, it's bad news. But I passed by the refrigerator, especially if nobody's looking. The eye see and the heart desires. And before you know it, there's nothing left in the refrigerator. But you go on the scale again and you pass by the mirror again. So if I don't develop the midah of self-control, then I lose the very things that I want out of life. I want to look slim and trim. Ain't gonna happen, because I have no self-control. I want to get the promotion at work. Promotion. It's very bad if you can't control yourself. I can't control coughing. It's a very bad thing, very bad feeling. I'm not faking it. Anyway, something there. Forgive me. But I want to get a promotion at work. I want to get a promotion at work. I can't resist making certain snide remarks or wisecracks to the boss, or to some important people there that have the boss's ear, or I can't get up in the mornings. I just come late. I'm every single day. I'm the most consistent guy in the office. I come 15 minutes late every single day. That's it. Your career, you may be okay, and your career may be over, because I don't have the self-control. And I think as many scenarios as we can present, and as many pictures and stories and you know, case studies. Oh wow, thank you so much. I don't think I make a brocha on this. No, I don't think so. No, I said. Thank you. Anyway, so as many such stories and scenarios and pictures and that we could present, people get the message that it doesn't pay. Just like crime doesn't pay. That's not a real good message. When they see crime doesn't pay, they learn how to do crimes. But over here, they see these things anyway. But it doesn't pay. We motivate. I must learn self-control. I must be able to. And really, the key to self-control is one thing. It's very simple. This is what I want, and I'm going to get it. They once asked Moshe Reichman, you know, Moshe Reichman in his day, they were not shaykh, they were on top of the world in the real estate industry, in the business world, and in the stocker world as well. Anyway, they once asked him, they said, how do you do such good deals? How do you negotiate the way you negotiate? How do you accomplish so much? He had in his heyday, it was not shaykh. So he said, we make up our minds what we want, and we're going to get it. We're going to go for it. We go into a meeting. We know this is the goal. This is what we want. That's it. When a person knows what he wants, and he has the discipline not to veer from the course, this is what I want. This is my goal. And I have the ability. I will do what I have to do and I will act the way I have to act, and I'll say what I have to say, and I won't say what I shouldn't say, and I won't give in to the temptation of the moment. You know, sometimes a good negotiator will throw a little bone, which really isn't worth too much, but it has a little bit of fat on it, and it looks like this is going to do the whole thing, and it can confuse a person. I won't let that happen, because I know this is where I want to go, I know this is what I want to do, and my job is to make sure to stay the course until I get there. And I think that as much as possible, if we can, again, as I mentioned, reward, recognize such gvura, praise such gvura, model such gvura, and explain the benefits of such gvura. And I dare say, when we have an opportunity where somebody didn't exercise self-control and we see the negative repercussions, to point it out to someone too, then I think that we have the ability to instill and inspire and develop in ourselves and talmidim and children maybe the most critical, or one of the most critical skills and natures that's necessary to succeed in life and to succeed in the accomplishment of any goal. So it's not just a gvura of Ezehu Gibor HaKoyosh Yitzray, it's mamish a key to success in life. That's my story.
Is it possible that you do too much?